Good morning, my name is Eric Klug. I'm a cardiologist. I am a professor of cardiology at the University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, as well as in private practice in Johannesburg as a clinical cardiologist. I'm speaking to you this morning from the American College of Cardiology, their annual meeting in Atlanta, and it's only a pleasure for me to speak to you about a trial that I presented yesterday called Liberate HR. And it relates to a drug which lowers cholesterol called a PCSK9 inhibitor. Now, PCSK9 may sound strange to you. How does that play a role in control of lipids? So we know that the LDL receptor is very important. It sits on the liver cell and it removes cholesterol from the system out into your bowel and we excrete it. But that LDL receptor is under some degree of control. And what controls the levels of LDL receptors is not only the cholesterol level in the cell, but also there is this protein called PCSK9. And PCSK9 as a protein is excreted 80% from the liver. Once it's out of the liver, it's in your blood. There are other organs that make PCSK9, and that includes the kidney and the gut and other organs, and makes up about 20% of the PCSK9 protein levels in your blood. The role of PCSK9 is to attach to the LDL receptor. When PCSK9 attaches to this receptor, it determines that that receptor is going to be degraded, it's going to be lost, it's going to reduce the number of receptors on the cell. And we know that the more receptors of LDL that we have on the liver cell, the more cholesterol is removed from the system. So it was quite interesting, some years ago in France, they discovered this family who had relatively normal cholesterol levels, but significant cardiovascular disease. And they were found to have a genetic mutation of PCSK9, which gained function. So they had too much, and therefore they had very low LDL receptors. You may know a condition called familial hypercholesterolemia. Those are people born either of Asian origin, or in South Africa we have the Afrikaner. People that came from a small group of people that sort of inbred and magnified the gene. And so we can have an incidence of 1 in 80 in, say, India or South Africa of familial hypercholesterolemia. That involves an inability to have LDL receptors. PCSK9 genetic problems is not that. It's the problem of PCSK9. So once we recognize that PCSK9, this protein in the blood, can play a role in regulating LDL receptors, drugs started to be developed. And so we had the monoclonal antibodies. These are proteins that now attach to the PCSK9, and therefore the PCSK9 is not available to attach to the LDL receptor. So now you are allowing this LDL receptor to recycle and come back up to the surface. All LDL receptors don't just stay there. They go back into the cell, they get recycled. About 100 to 150 times, this LDL receptor can recycle. So when you remove PCSK9 from the system by having an antibody which combines with the PCSK9, you allow the LDL receptor to stay in the system. So the monoclonal antibodies were born. That's evolucumab, alirucumab, and these came in the form of injections. There were no oral treatments. Because it's a protein, it would get broken down in the gut. So you may have heard of the trials of Odyssey Outcomes, and the trials from Amgen with alirucumab. These injections were given every 2 weeks. It was called the Fourier trial, F-O-U-R-I-E-R, the Fourier trial with alirucumab. the drug given every 2 weeks subcutaneously. And they found that in patients on background statin therapy, drugs that you have used now for up to 40 years for your patients to lower cholesterol, and the more recent addition of ezetimibe, which is another oral therapy which stops the absorption of cholesterol in the gut. So on the background of those therapies, with patients who still had LDL cholesterol levels that are considered too high for their cardiovascular risk group, in addition, they added the subcutaneous injections every 2 weeks of the monoclonal antibodies to PCSK9. And they were found to reduce LDL cholesterol up to 50 to 60% over and above the reduction that you got on other oral therapy. So that was a crucial thing, because as many of you know, I'm sure, when you read the ESC guideline or get educated about the European Society of Cardiology guideline, they suggest that to get better reduction in major cardiovascular endpoints, which would be cardiovascular death, non-fatal heart attack, non-fatal stroke, the best way in the management of lipids in that group of patients is to reduce LDL cholesterol by more than 50% from the original LDL cholesterol level. So it's a minimum requirement, as well as reaching certain LDL targets according to your risk stratification. So why did they do that? Why did they say more than a 50% reduction as a minimum? And this is a thing in practice that I'm sure you found, that your patient maybe who had a heart attack and his LDL or her LDL cholesterol, and I'll speak in millimoles per liter, if their millimoles per liter LDL cholesterol was, for example, 2 millimoles, and you see that the target for somebody with a prior heart attack is 1.4 millimoles per liter, you would think, gee, I only need to use a little bit of statin and maybe ezetimibe to get to that target. That is not true. You need to reduce that 2 millimoles per liter by more than 50%. So that patient should be reduced to 1 millimole per liter. And therefore that comes into the idea of using high intensity statin and the ezetimibe. So it's the more than 50% reduction. And in patients at very high risk, those who've had a stroke, a heart attack, or have peripheral vascular disease, or diabetics with other target organ damage, or people with significant renal dysfunction, their kidneys are sick, or the familial hypercholesterolemic group with vascular disease, that group of patients, you want to target the LDL, not only a less than 50%, a more than 50% reduction, but also an LDL cholesterol less than 1.4. or in American terms, less than 55 milligrams per deciliter. If you've got patients at high risk, then you want to reduce the LDL cholesterol to less than 1.8 plus a 50% reduction, or less than 70 milligrams per deciliter according to the American system. And patients at high risk for cardiovascular disease, the target would be an LDL of less than 1.8 millimoles per liter, or less than 70 milligrams per deciliter. So those are the targets. So why do we say that? Because the absolute reductions of LDL cholesterol are so important to your patients, the patients that you care for. If you want to reduce these major cardiovascular events, the heart attacks, the strokes, cardiovascular death, heart failure, then we need to reduce LDL cholesterol. And the general rule of thumb is if you reduce LDL cholesterol by 1 millimole per liter, then you're going to reduce cardiovascular events by 22%. So it's a very, or in the American system, if you reduce LDL cholesterol by 40 milligrams per deciliter, you reduce cardiovascular events by about 20 to 23%. So we've got this idea of, importantly, reduce LDL cholesterol. So we decided to do this trial with lirodalcipep. Now you wouldn't have heard about this drug, and it's a new novel PCSK9 inhibitor. It's not a monoclonal antibody. It's a different protein. It's actually been made from a human protein called fibronectin. You may remember from your medical school days, fibronectin keeps cells together. And so this fibronectin has many binding sites. And they made a group of drugs, a company called Adnexus, in fact, a whole lot of adnectins, these proteins that you could make in them specific binding sites for different proteins. And Lib Therapeutics, the sponsors of this trial, Liberate HR, took this one adnectin and made its affinity, its ability to bind to PCSK9 five times the original make of the drug, and it's a small protein. So what happened here is they made a highly effective anti-PCSK9 drug in a small protein. Why do I say small protein? Why do I emphasize that? Is because this drug can be given monthly. How? They combined it with human serum albumin, the protein in all of us. This was genetically combined with the liradalcipeb, and they made the 77 atomic mass protein, which, believe me, is a small protein. Combining it with albumin doesn't allow it to be excreted in the urine, and so the half-life is prolonged to 15 days. And then in prior studies, we found that 300 milligrams of liradalcipeb could be given subcutaneously monthly, very important, subcutaneously monthly in a 1.2 mil injection. And I emphasize 1.2 mil injection, which is a small volume compared to the prior monoclonal antibodies, which are large volumes if given monthly. You will note that the monoclonal antibodies are generally given every 2 weeks and they have to be stored in a fridge. With this drug, it can be given monthly, it can be kept on the shelf, patients can travel with it, and it's a small 12-second at most injection if the auto-injector is used, or a pre-filled syringe can be injected by the patient. So it's easy to use for the patient. So now we gave this drug in Liberate HR to patients who either had vascular disease, that means they had prior heart attack, stroke, or had peripheral vascular disease, or they had other very high risk factors, as I've told you about earlier in my speech or talk to you, as well as patients who had were considered high risk for cardiovascular disease. They had to have LDL cholesterols above 70 if they were very high risk, milligrams per deciliter, or in the high risk group, LDL cholesterols more than 100. You can divide by 38.5 to get the millimoles per liter equivalent. So these patients on maximally tolerated statin, they were already on statins. They had to be on stable statin dose for more than 4 weeks, and they could be on ezetimibe. And we also took patients who were intolerant to statins. They entered the trial and we randomized them in a double blind. That means they didn't know what they were getting. We didn't know what they were getting. Subcutaneous injection of a 300 milligram dose of liradalcipeb versus placebo. And they were given injections every month for 48 weeks. And then they returned at week 50 to have their primary endpoint assessed, which is the peak of the drug. And the primary endpoint was the percentage reduction in LDL cholesterol from baseline, as well at week 52, as well as week 50 and 52 as an average. Because we wanted to get the average of the peak and the trough, because week 52 was 4 weeks after the injection. So we needed to know what were the levels of LDL cholesterol at the lowest level of the drug in the system. So we did peak and troughs, as well as trough levels. And then we analyzed other apolipoproteins like lipoprotein little A, triglycerides, non-HDL cholesterol, these other important ApoB, these other important lipoproteins that have been found to be linked to cardiovascular events. It was also a safety trial, so all patients that entered into the trial were assessed for safety. So that was the scenario of the trial, and it proved to be that the patients on lirodalcipep or on placebo had equal number of adverse events. It was equally safe. The only adverse event that was more in the lirodalcipep group was injection site reactions. Any injection can create a reaction. It is an injection of a small protein, but these reactions were considered to be mild or moderate, and they were transient. And no patient discontinued the trial because of the injection site reaction. So with that background, let me tell you how exciting it was that we saw at week 52 the mean percentage reduction compared to the change in the placebo arm was between 50 and 60% reduction in LDL cholesterol, which was similar to the other monoclonal antibody trials. And when we looked at the means of week 50 and 52, the peak and the trough average, because that's what the patients would be exposed to throughout the month, they would have this combination of peak and trough levels, we had a reduction, percentage reduction of LDL cholesterol compared to what happened in the placebo group of -55% to -65% according to the statistical analysis of the different groups. And this reduction in LDL cholesterol was the same in all the subgroups, male or female, and we had almost 50% females in this trial. It was irrespective of the entry LDL cholesterol, and the average LDL cholesterol on entry was 116 milligrams per deciliter in both arms. So it was irrespective of your entry cholesterol, your gender. We had up to 1 in 5 patients being black or multiracial, which is higher than other trials. We had almost 50% diabetics, and there was up to 10% familial hypercholesterolemia groups. The groups of primary prevention, that means patients who entered the trial that never had a cardiovascular event, they just had other risk factors, high cholesterol, hypertension, genetic abnormalities of cholesterol. It was almost equally represented in the trial to those who were in the secondary prevention group, meaning patients who had prior events. So even when we looked at the percentage reduction in cholesterol, they didn't differ. The primary prevention group and the secondary prevention group benefited the same, as well as patients who were diabetic or not diabetic, they benefited the same. So it was across the board, and it was a uniform distribution of reduction. And what we also measured out of interest is we can measure free PCSK9 protein in the blood. So I spoke to you about PCSK9. I said to you that our drug will combine with PCSK9. And once it combines with PCSK9, lirodalcipep and the PCSK9 gets taken out of your body through the lymphatic system. So we can measure how much free PCSK9 is available in the blood when we give the drug. And we measured these levels of free PCSK9 at the trough dose of giving the drug. And it was remarkable that the median reduction of free PCSK9 in your body, showing the effectiveness of removing PCSK9, was over 90% at the trough levels. And so it was more than 90% decreased median reduction of PCSK9. So it was encouraging to see the proof of concept of the drug, that lirodalcipep, a PCSK9 third generation, can attach to PCSK9 in the body and remove it through your lymph system. So in summary, we have a drug that significantly reduces LDL cholesterol in your body, absolute reductions of 65 to 75 milligrams per deciliter, or 50 to 60% reduction from baseline. In a small volume, stable at room temperature, as well as reducing other lipoproteins like apolipoprotein B, non-HDL cholesterol, triglycerides, and importantly, there's almost a 30% reduction in another apolipoprotein called lipoprotein little a. You may not have heard about it. You're going to hear a lot about lipoprotein little a. There are drugs developing to reduce lipoprotein little a, and lirodalcipib reduced lipoprotein little a by 30%. There was also a slight increase in HDL cholesterol, less than 7%. So it's an exciting drug. There have been studies presented in people with familial hypercholesterolemia. We're going to present later this year in patients with very high risk. We have got an open label study. The drug is well tolerated, and there aren't any antibodies. In case any of you have heard of previous PCSK9 monoclonal antibody, one which was not a pure human drug created antibodies in the patients, and that was bad. That drug was taken off the market. We are a pure human drug. We don't have any evidence of neutralizing antibodies or anti-drug antibodies in the system. Nothing that relates to the injection site reactions or the effectivity of reducing LDL cholesterol. These antibodies are transient and clinically irrelevant. So at present, we have a very safe, effective drug that hopefully helps you treat your patients, and hopefully when it comes onto the market will be affordable to further reduce LDL cholesterol and therefore reduce cardiovascular events in a very meaningful way.